was a doctor with Samaritan Purse who came down with Ebola in Africa in 2014. A graduate of Abilene Christian University. I'll never forget how I started hearing criticism towards Kent Brantley. And the criticism was, what's he doing over there anyway? And now all the trouble is costing our country to get over there with treatment, fly him back home to the CDC in Atlanta, put him in Emory Hospital. Why was he even there? His answer, I think, would be because he chose compassion over fear. The average person chooses fear over compassion. But followers of Jesus are trained to always choose compassion over fear. What Christians do. Now in John chapter 11, finally, there's more bad news about Jesus' friend Lazarus. The first piece of bad news was he's sick. The second piece of bad news is he's dead. There isn't worse news for most people than the news that someone they love is dead. I was recalling a memory of our church back when our worship center was in what is now the Fellowship Center. Some of you who have been around for a while will remember the name Bryson. Bryson was led to Christ by an elderly couple, the Threlkills, here at our church several years ago. Bryson had lived a difficult life, struggled with addiction, but found freedom through Christ. And on a particular summer Sunday morning, as he sat on the second pew, we gave him his Bible to celebrate his baptism. 10 minutes later, I'm preaching from the pulpit when I see Bryson's back arched in pain, and I knew something was wrong. I jumped off of the stage, ran to Bryson, calling out to our nurses in the crowd to come and assist. 911 was called. Bryson was transported to the hospital. I was sitting on the stage on the pew while one of our elders came up and prayed. And while he was praying, I was thinking, why am I still here? Like I'm going to finish my sermon? And so after the prayer, I left, joined Bryson's sister in one of those little rooms in the hospital as we awaited news. And when the news came that Bryson was dead, it was the worst news possible we could hear. What is death? Death, the word, literally means separation. Death is the separation of people, those who are alive, from those who are dead. Death is also the separation of the human body from the human spirit. James 2 verse 26 says, the body without the spirit is dead. So when the human heart stops beating, the human spirit is separated from the body. And in our world, 105 people die every minute. So why is it happening? The answer is because sin is a killer. Romans 5 verse 12 says, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death came through sin, and in this way, death came to all men because what? All sin. So like sin is the plague that touches every human being. Why is it a killer? Life comes from God. Sin opposes God. So sin separates us from our eternal life support system, which is God in all of eternity. Jesus came to cure us of death's power and through his resurrection, remove the sting of death from our lives. The gospel is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And that's what Christians do. They believe the gospel. Now, back in John chapter 11, watch what happens when news of Lazarus' death spreads. Verse 19 says, many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Verse 31. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And I just hope that when they got to the tomb, the one thing they didn't say to attempt to comfort Mary and Martha, I hope it wasn't, Lazarus is dead because God needed another angel in heaven. Saying something like that makes God look sadistic and needy. And besides that, the Bible says angels are created beings. They are not human beings who die and then are transformed into angels. It's just not going to be comforting words to someone who knows God and knows the Bible to say that the loved one is dead because God needed an angel. I want you to notice what Jesus did to offer comfort to Martha and Mary. Verse 23. Your brother will rise again. Verse 25. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. We call that empathy. Verse 35, you know that verse? Jesus wept. More empathy. And finally, verse 41, Jesus prayed. In verse 43, Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. So here's some takeaways for us in terms of comforting the grieving. Number one, like we've already said, just be present. Don't run in the opposite direction. Run towards people who are grieving. Number two, pray for them. Offer to pray for them. People who are hurting, people who are sick or grieving, really covet prayer from someone else. Never in my life have I offered to pray for someone, whether it be a church member or a waitress at a restaurant, and they say, no, I don't want you praying for me. They find comfort and solace in that offer of prayer. You can do that as a Christian. Offer to pray for someone. Number three, focus more on feeling than thinking. This is where a lot of us guys get it all wrong because we're just usually in our head trying to logically work our way through it. Stop. Focus more on feeling than thinking. I was trained in college to keep it all together when I entered difficult situations because everybody else is going to be a hot mess. I've learned over the years that oftentimes when I allow myself to feel with people instead of trying to maintain my composure, a greater connection between everyone takes place. Feel with people. Don't try to think for people. Number four, just do something. I know we can't raise the dead, but we can fertilize a yard as Don Craig for the Craddocks when Charles was sick. We can send a card. We can clean someone's kitchen. Just do something. And then finally, number five, affirm the gospel. Now, don't go into a situation with your Bible pistol just blaring with scriptures right off the bat. Don't try to minimize someone's suffering by saying, but the Bible says this, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says this. But at the right place and at the right time that the Lord provides, affirm the good news of the gospel that sustains every human being during very difficult times. Illness, trauma, death, dying, grieving. They are situations we'd all love to avoid in this life. But no one gets a pass from them. The gospel gives us the power to run towards people who are in the midst of suffering like that. So number one, Jesus shows us that people are worth dying for. And number two, Jesus shows us that people are worth living for. The Roman Empire took note of these Christians who stayed behind to take care of the sick. They were impressed. They said, we need to do that too. But it just didn't work as effectively as when the Christians did it, and here's why. The pagans were doing it out of a sense of duty or a sense of pride or competition. The Christians were doing it out of a sense of love and devotion to their high calling in Jesus Christ. My challenge for us as a church this morning is this. May we be a church who, when people are in the midst of pain and suffering, we run to them instead of away from them. May no one in our church and community be left behind. May we be a church that continues to serve as the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. We can do it because the gospel gives us the power to do it. We can help you in any way before you go home this morning. Meet me down front and tell me how we can help you as together we stand and sing.
Lord, take